This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we dig further in Genesis, the book of beginnings, with Melchizedek. Abram's faith justifies. How shall I know? Affliction, then reward. And helping God's promises come true? Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
my lips. Romans chapter 12 and 13. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, "You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet," and any other commandment are summed up in this word, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on Wednesday in our gospel lesson, Jesus was asked, "What is the great commandment in the law?" And he said that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. St. Paul says the same thing in our reading today. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, love is the fulfilling of the law. He repeats this in Galatians. This is what it means to be freed in Christ, to go forth loving and serving your neighbor. St. James says the same in his epistle. It seems fairly straightforward when you think about loving your neighbor as yourself. And yet, it's not so straightforward. It's not so straightforward in part because of this word, love. You see, you do not need to be a believer to love. Everybody loves. Everybody loves something, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. You may say, in fact, that to be human is to love. Well, what is it that we love as humans? We love, by nature, you might say, that which we find delightful. There is something apart from us that is lovable, and it elicits our love. Now, we love different things. We love different foods. We love different activities. We love all sorts of things that our neighbor does not, in fact, love. I will confess that I find lima beans entirely unlovable. I think they're disgusting, and they smell. But in my first parish, lovely Doris loved lima beans. And at every potluck, she would bring lima beans to try and win me over. It didn't work. Doris loves lima beans, and I find them entirely unlovable. That's not the sort of love, however, that our Lord is talking about when he says the second commandment of loving your neighbor. So what kind of love is that? It's not by nature. It's by grace. It's the sort of love that proceeds from the very gift of faith itself. Now listen to how St. John explains this. This is in his first epistle, chapter 4, and listen very carefully to the way he puts it. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. The love that we have for another is not the love that proceeds from me, my nature, and the things that delight me and the things around me. No. The love that I have for another, for my neighbor, well, that love is from God. And so St. John continues, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. To love the other is a gift from God, indeed a fruit of the Spirit, as St. Paul says, and it comes about by the very working of the Holy Spirit through the means of grace by which we are reborn and born again by God. And being born again means we know who God is and what he has done for us. We know differently, and therefore we love as we know. So St. John continues, anyone who does not love does not know God. Those two things necessarily go together. To love my neighbor as Jesus is calling me to do, as St. Paul explains to me in our lesson for the day, means that I must have this gift from God, that I would know him and especially know his love. Well, what is the content of that? Well, St. John makes it so clear to us. He explains in this way, then, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The love that we have by grace for the other, for the neighbor, is a love rooted in who God is and the love that he has for you and for me. The love that we see in Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins. That sort of love is of an entirely different character than the love that proceeds from ourselves. No, this love entrusted to us and worked in our hearts by the working of the Spirit through the means of grace, rooted in the very atoning work of Christ our Lord to the glory of the Father, this love changes everything. So who should we love then? Well, we love our neighbor. But Jesus gets very specific about who that neighbor is. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor, but I say love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. And then he goes on to say, if you only love those who love you, well, you're no different than a tax collector or a Gentile. In other words, you're no different than those who have no faith, those who do not know who God is, and therefore do not understand the love that God has for you and for me in Christ, in the very saving work of the Son for us. So now when I look around me, I begin to see everyone differently. That's the gift of faith. That's the gift of the love worked in my heart that I now see those for whom our Lord has given his life, shedding his blood for them. You see, if I love by nature, I love what I find lovable to myself. If I love by grace, I love what God finds lovable. I love as he has loved. So St. Paul says in our lesson, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. This is what love does. It seeks the good of the other for the sake of the other. Why? Because every good thing that I have in Christ. And now he sends me forth with his gifts to love those around me, to love my neighbor. Well, how do I love my neighbor? This word too needs to be clarified. On the one hand, my neighbor is those who are near me, those who are nigh unto me. That's what the word means. I don't need to go searching for neighbors. I just need to look around. God provides neighbors for me. But where does God provide neighbors for me? He provides them in my callings. And my callings, my vocations inform then the love that I have for those around me. Now let me explain that, right? God entrusts to me my children. I'm a father. I have children, and I am to love them in a very particular way according to my calling as their father. I am to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I am to discipline when discipline is needed. This I do out of love for my children. I'm not to do that to your children. I love them differently because I stand in a relation to them differently. So the neighbor that I love is according to the very callings that the Lord has given to me. Think about it this way. How does a pastor love his people? Think of what Jesus says to Peter. Do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I do. Then feed and tend my sheep. In other words, take my word and preach my word to them. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, do so with patience, do so appropriately, do so according to my word as it is given to you. Jesus gives us an example of this. We heard it a few weeks ago with the rich young man. And once again, the rich young man comes to Jesus and he wants to know what he needs to do for eternal life. So Jesus lists all of the commandments and then he ends by saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now the rich young man says, I've done all of that, which is to say, I've fulfilled the law, because love fulfills the law, and he's claiming to have done that. And then Mark gives us that detail that Jesus looked at him and loved him. And what did he then proceed to do as he loved him? He proceeded to preach the law to him, because that is what he needed, and that was the loving thing to do. We feed and we tend the sheep entrusted to us. We prove, we rebuke, we exhort as it is appropriate and needed. That is love. And that requires the very gift of God. Last thing, how do we love ourselves? If we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't just mean that because we're selfish and think only of ourselves, we should do the same for the neighbor. That's fine, but that's not the right way of thinking of love. That's not the gift of the Spirit that Christ is talking about. How do you, dear friend, love yourself according to Scripture? You remember that you have faith worked by grace, that you are born of God, that you know God, and you know his atoning work for you. In other words, the most loving thing that you can do for yourself is to daily remember your baptism. Go forth in that baptism, practicing that baptism by loving and serving those whom God has given to you, your neighbors, in the callings that he has entrusted to you. You love yourself by meditating daily on the beauty of God's word and going forth in the great joy of that word as a baptized child of God to indeed love those before you, those who are kind to you, and those who persecute you. You love them all because of what Christ has done for you and for me. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
In our prayers, we give thanks with Zachary and Rebecca Stuckwich at the birth of their daughter, Madeline Marie. Let us pray. O God, your divine wisdom sets in order all things in heaven and on earth. Put away from us all things hurtful, and give us those things that are beneficial for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty and eternal God, we thank you for this, your blessing of the birth of Madeline. Receive her into your care forever. Give her grace, blessing, and strength to be brought into your kingdom through holy baptism. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.